As Barry announced, the reading this morning is from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. These scriptures are on the back of the bulletin. Then he said, this is Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent all, there arose a famine, a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry.
Very familiar reading to most of us. Been a lot of sermons taught on this parable. A lot of Bible study lessons concerning this parable. A lot of good thoughts that can be drawn from the words that Jan read there concerning this parable of Jesus. But there's the remainder of that chapter talks about the older brother, and we'll hit just a little bit about him also this morning. But as we think about the younger son and what he did, he had a right to his inheritance, and when he asked for it, his father gave it to him. Not long after, he took all that he had and went into a foreign country, as Jan read. And he wasted his substance in riotous living, the King James Version says. So he squandered what he had. A lot of decisions apparently was made by this man. Apparently there were some bad decisions made because he lost all that he had. We could probably speculate on why he lost all that he had. There's probably numerous reasons for that. But nonetheless, he had his inheritance and he lost it. And he found himself in a bad situation. There was a famine in the land and he didn't have anything, so he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and the citizen of that country sent him out to feed his swine. His hogs. He gets out there and he's so hungry he would have gladly eaten of the husk of the corn or the pods that was left. He would gladly fill himself with that so he could not feel the hunger pains. He was in trouble. And he said, my father's servants are better off than I am. They have more than enough. They have bread to eat in my father's house. So what I'll do, I'll go back to my father and I'll tell him, Father, I've sinned. Make me one of your servants. Really, when the young man embraced his situation, the New American Standard Version says that when he was yet afar off, his father saw him, and he came to his father, and his father went out to him, and And he embraced him. He had compassion on him and he embraced him. The King James Version said his father had compassion on him and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. But he embraced him. He welcomed his son back. The father was willing to bring him back no matter what the circumstances. He was glad to see him. He was returning. Welcome his son home. So two things about the son and the father. Number one is the son that had gone to the far country and found himself in dire straits, he had to let some things go. He had to let go of some things in his own mind and realize that, you know, this is where I'm at. This is who I am, and I've got nothing. So he had to let go of the fact that I'm going to make it on my own. He had to embrace the fact that I need to make some changes and my father will accept me back, so I'm going back. So when he embraced the fact that he needed to make some changes and was willing to say, I'm sorry, and go back to his father, that's when some changes was made and he went back. And the good thing is that when his daddy saw him, his father saw him, he welcomed him back. He had compassion on him and he embraced him. So when we think about this story, there's a lot of good things that we can look at. There's some things that maybe we ought to be embracing and there's some things that we ought not to embrace. As a matter of fact, the wise man Solomon says there's a time to embrace and there's a time not to embrace. And there was a time when this young man was in this foreign country, not to embrace his own situation where he was at anymore, but to let go of those things and go back to where he could have some help and embrace the love of his father and the things his father could offer him. So he did that, and his father embraced him. Well, the older brother had a problem. He heard the music and he heard the rejoicing, and he questioned, what's going on here? Why have they killed the fatted calf? Why have they done these things? And his brother apparently had some animosity toward his younger brother and perhaps even toward his dad. It would seem that way in his wording, because he asked his dad, why are you being merry? Why are you giving this feast and rejoicing for my brother that went off and wasted what you gave him, and now he's come back and you're doing this, and I've been here all these years. I've been here with you, and I've been all this time, and now look what you're doing. Well, the older brother had a problem too, didn't he? He was not willing to embrace his brother and welcome him back home. And apparently he was not willing to unembrace and let go of his animosity toward his brother. So there's some embracing and some not embracing in this story. And this morning I'd like to take a look at that and think about the fact that there's a time to embrace and a time not to embrace. And ask myself the question, as you perhaps could ask yourself the question, if you will, this morning, am I embracing the correct things in life? Am I embracing the right things, and am I not embracing? Am I letting go of the things that I don't need to be holding on to? Because all that's in this story. And I want to take a look at it. But the reason we want to look at this story this morning is yes, because it's the Word of God. But I was telling W.A. last week, about 2 weeks ago, I left their house and was driving over toward West Point. And we have a neighbor down the road there, about a mile up the road, whatever you want to see, over the way. A neighbor lives about a mile from us, and oftentimes, early in the morning when I go through, I'll see him out there, this granddad, and he'll have this little, like 10 or 12 year old child, making sure that she gets on the special needs bus for Coleman County. And sometimes in the afternoon, I happen to go by at the bus time, I'll see him out there waiting on her. Rain, shine, cold or hot, to make sure she gets off that bus. This particular morning was on a Wednesday morning, this past Wednesday, a week ago, and it was chilly, down about 26, 28 degrees. And I was going down the road, and there he was, out at the end of the driveway. And he had this little girl, his granddaughter. He had her a big jacket on, a hood over her head, had her all wrapped up, waiting for that special needs bus. And the picture that I looked at as I went, he had her hugged up and his arm around her and had her embraced like that, with his head over her, just keeping her warm, out there shaking. He was embracing this special needs granddaughter because he loved her, because he wanted to protect her, he wanted to make sure she was safe. And whatever her state in life is, she has to know that this man loves her, that when she's in his embrace, that there's some care there. Someone cares about me. So he was embracing her. And I told W.A., I said, you know, when I thought about that, I couldn't help but think about the prodigal son that took his inheritance, went away and wasted it. When he came to himself and went back, and what did his father do? He had compassion on him and he embraced him. And so embracing, that is to take hold of. Embrace is to reach around and make a part of a greater part. Embrace is to eagerly reach out and take hold of. Embrace. So there's some things we need to be eager about in life. There's some things we need to be embracing in life. And are we embracing those things? I'd like to take a few minutes this morning and talk about some things we need to be embracing, and also some things that we ought not to be embracing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22 talks about that there's some things we ought to hold on and some things we ought not to hold on to. Abstain from every form of evil. Cleave to that which is good. So there's some things that I need to let go of. If they're evil, if they're wrong, if they're sinful, if they're not right and morally or in the sight of God or toward others, I need to let them go and don't be involved in them. Abstain from it. And cleave to that which is good. That means I need to be embracing good things. So in my own life, I need to examine my life and ask myself, Charles, are you embracing the things that are proper, that are good, that are right in the sight of God and before others? Am I embracing right instead of wrong? Am I embracing good instead of evil? One thing I need to certainly consider is, am I embracing the Word of God? We're here this morning. We had an excellent Bible class, and we studied the Word of God this morning. We have opportunities on Wednesday and Sunday to come together to study the Word of God. Are we embracing the Word of God? I'm not talking about just picking up the Bible and holding it in our hand. I'm talking about taking it in, becoming a part of a greater thing. And that means if we're embracing the Word of God, we're going to take it in by reading it. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul told Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, handling aright the Word of truth. Am I embracing the Word of God by reading it? Am I embracing the Word of God for having a desire to reach out and take it in? 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The Word of God is important. It is so important that it can save our soul. Hebrews writer tells us that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, even to the piercing and dividing asunder the joints and the marrow of the bone. And so the Word of God is powerful, Romans 1:16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do I want to be saved? Well, I need to embrace the Word of God and read it and study it and learn it and obey it, because I can't have faith in God without it. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And how important is faith? We talked about this morning in our other class, in our other study, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So am I embracing the right literature in life? Am I reading the right things? Am I reading the Word of God? That's the most important book I can read. It's the most important book you can read, because look at it, how powerful it is. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Adam made reference to it in his class this morning. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So are we embracing the Word of God, or is it just a book that we have just in case we may need to read it, or someone may ask us a question, or just for looks? Embracing the Word of God means that we get in it and we learn what's in it. We embrace what's worded there, the message. We embrace the message. How important is it to embrace the message of the Word of God? Well, it's very important, because the Word of God is truth. Jesus said that thy Word is truth. The psalmist talked about thy Word being a light to our feet and a lamp to our pathway. So, the Word of God is truth. Are we embracing the Word of God? Are we embracing truth? There's two things we can embrace in life. That is wrong and right. Truth and error. The broad way, that's not truth, that leads to destruction. And the narrow way, that leads to life, which is based on following the Word of God. So are we embracing the truth? Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. So do I need to embrace the Word of God? Certainly. Do I have sin in my life? Certainly I do. Do you? Does everyone? Certainly everyone has sin in their life, Romans 6:23. So what's the tragedy of having sin in our life? Well, Romans 6:23 also says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So the truth, when we obey it by faith in God and are washed in the waters of baptism, the truth can set us free from sin because we learn what God instructs us to do to get forgiveness, and we do it, the truth sets us free from sin. So we need to be embracing the Word of God, the truth, because God's Word is truth. Embracing the path of righteousness that leads to life. So are we embracing the Word of God, or are we just doing a little dab here and a little dab there? How much do we know about the Word of God? Are we studying? Are we growing? Peter talks about, 2 Peter 3 verse 18, that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, am I embracing the Word of God? Am I embracing the truth? Are you embracing the Word of God and embracing the truth? Are we letting go of the things that might hinder us from studying the Word of God? There's a lot of things we can name that might hinder us. All kind of pleasures in life, all kind of activities in life that could wait. They could be put on the back burner. They may not even be necessary to engage in anyway, but we let those things hinder us from studying the Word of God. How important is the Word of God to us? Are we embracing it because it's the truth and we want to know the truth and it can set us free? Is it important enough to us to embrace the Word of God and the truth to take time out of our life on Wednesday night to be at the Bible studies and prepare for the Bible study class, to be a part of it? To be here on Sunday morning for a Bible study class and to sit down and study it and to read it at home? Embracing the Word of God is so important because we're going to be judged by the Word of God. John 12:48, Jesus said, the words that I have spoken to you shall judge you in the last day. And Jesus himself is the one that's going to be judging us, 2 Corinthians 5:10, according to the things we've done in our body. Well, if we don't get in the Word and obey it, then we're going to be doing some wrong things with our body, because obeying the Word of God will transform us when we obey it. It helps to be no longer conformed to the world, Romans 12:1-2, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we may prove what's that perfect and acceptable will of God. So we're renewed by the Word of God. Are we embracing the Word of God? Are we embracing the truth? How about we mentioned this morning in our class about Matthew 22:37-39. Are we embracing the love of God? God has embraced us with His love a long time ago. He pre-planned that there'd be a way that man could get forgiveness of his sins. And when the due time came, he sent his son who came and his son gave his life. Are we embracing the love of God? Because John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And his son, Matthew 20:28, gave his life a ransom for all. Are we embracing the truth, the Word of God? Are we embracing the love of God that he had for us by embracing God with our love and obeying Him? He's done His part. He's offering it to us. But if I don't embrace that love, I can't reap the benefits of that love, can I? So it all comes down to the Word, the truth, and the love. How is our love for God? Is it enough that we will obey Him? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do we love God enough to embrace His Word, embrace the truth, love Him as we should, and embrace the love of God that He's bestowed upon us, and love Him enough to embrace His instructions and obey those things in our life? What about our love for our neighbor? We mentioned that in our other class also, but Matthew 22:39, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. 37:38 says the first and great commandment is this, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the second is like in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What about us? Are we embracing the people around us with a proper kind of love? How is our attitude toward our neighbor? We talked about that in Romans 12 this morning, in Romans 14, Galatians 6. What about our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ and the church? Are we embracing the proper love toward the church that Christ loved enough to give His life for and shed His blood for? Acts 20:28-30, He gave His life and shed His blood to purchase the church. Do we love the church? Do we love our neighbor? Do we love our family? Are we embracing the proper love for our husbands and our wives, whichever situation it may be? Do I love my wife as I should? Am I embracing that love for her so that if I really truly love her, what am I going to do? I'm going to show it by my actions, Ephesians chapter 5, 21 through chapter 6 and verse 4. Love my wife as the Lord loved the church and gave himself for it. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but we ought to love our wives. And wives, do you love your husbands? Are you embracing your husband with the right kind of love toward him? How about as parents? Are we embracing the love we should toward our children? As fathers, do we embrace the love of our children enough to be willing to guide them in the right way? Ephesians 6 and verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And children, are you embracing your parents as they get older? Are you embracing your parents and the love for your parents while you're young, while you're a child, while you're a teenager at home? Are you embracing the love for your parents that you should? You show that by obeying them in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Because your parents are trying to train you up, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, in the way that you should go, and when you're old, you'll not depart from it. So there's a twofold love there. Are we embracing our children with the right love? Children, are we embracing our parents with the right kind of love by showing them respect and care they need? And it doesn't stop when you go off to college or you get married and leave. Certainly you cleave to your husband and your wife and your responsibilities to them, but your parents, if they grow older, you still have responsibility to your parents when they become feeble and can't care for themselves, to see to it that they have the things they need. Do we really embrace the love we should toward our parents, toward our children, toward our neighbor, toward our friends, toward the church, toward the Word of God, and toward truth? You know, we've got a choice to make. Are we going to embrace or not embrace? So we talked about some things we ought to be embracing. Are we letting go of some things we shouldn't have in our life? Abstain from that which is evil. That's a lot of classification under things that are wrong. Maybe you have some anger in your heart for someone for some reason. You need to let it go. We can't hate our brother and love God who loves us. Have we been disappointed and hurt for some reason by someone and we just can't let it go? Are we holding something? Are we embracing something from the past? Someone said something that hurt our feelings and just hit the wrong way. Am I big enough to forgive them and ask them and let them know they need to ask forgiveness? And am I big enough to love them enough to forgive them? Are we holding on to things? How about our love toward our brothers and sisters? Do we love our brothers and sisters in Christ and our family and friends and those with whom we work? Do we love them enough to treat them as a human being on the same level as we are? Blood pumping through their body with a soul. And treat them with kindness. Do we love them enough to do that? Are we embracing that type of attitude? Or do we look down on others? What if Jesus had looked down on others? The woman at the well. Zacchaeus, the publican. What if he had looked down and said, well, that's just rough folks of the earth. I don't want to go there. Let me stick with the Pharisees. Because look how good they think they are. We need to examine ourselves as individuals and as the church. And ask ourselves, where have we come to in 2022? About the things we embrace. Have we set up things in the church that maybe we don't want to admit that we have? The uplifting and the holding up high and mighty of the clergy, when after all those men are baptized believers in Christ, just like me and just like you. Do we have a respect of persons for those that maybe can give more than others? Or they speak more clearly than others? I might need to let some of that go. I might need to learn to come over here and have a good conversation between me and James. He and I. On the same level. Are we letting go of things that ought not to be? Sometimes do we hold on to the attitude that I know more than they do, so that makes them less valuable than me. I've studied more than they have, so I'm more important than they are. They've made more mistakes than I have, so that puts me in the place where I can judge. I think it's time that I need to let some things go if I've got that attitude. Remember now, I'm going to be judged by the Word of God. So what are we embracing? There's a time to embrace, and there's a time to let go. My friend, today, if there's something in your life you've been embracing that you ought not to be holding on to, maybe it's anger, hurtful feelings, attitude, maybe you need to let that go. Come to Jesus, He will save you. Come today. Come to Jesus, He will save you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." I tell you, folks, sometimes I need rest, don't you? And the best rest we'll ever get is taking a load off our back and being right with God. Taking a load off our back and being right with our neighbor, being right with our fellow man, their brothers and sisters, holding on to that which is good and letting go of that which is wrong. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, and we can help you in any way, you need to be baptized into Christ. There are brethren here that are strong and healthy and can baptize you within a matter of 30 minutes after you come forward. You can leave this building with your sins washed away. If you're here this morning and maybe you are a child of God, there's something that you've been holding on to that you should let go, then let it go. If you have not embraced, been embracing the things that are good that you know you should be embracing so you can be right with God, then grab hold of those things today and do them. If we can help you, please come while Donald leads us in the invitation song.
God is calling, the prodigal come without delay.